It has been a mild winter in northwest Arkansas, especially when you compare it to the last few years when the area experienced a large amount of snowfall, as well as a memorable ice storm that left many stranded and without power for days, and for some, weeks. In the event of another brutal attack by Mother Nature, engineering researchers at the University of Arkansas are developing an emergency communications network that will maintain operation during natural disasters and provide critical warnings and geographic information to people affected by the disasters. Yesterday, I visited the U of A and spoke with Nilanjan Banerjee, Pat Parkerson, and Jack Cothran, three researchers involved with the project, about what inspired them to create this network.
So it's essentially the snowstorm that hit Fayetteville when I came in. A year before I came in. And there was no electricity, there was no power.
The ice storm.
And essentially what we did was we thought about doing something about it. Like, people didn't have any access to information, totally, like, disconnected from the world. So this emergency net that we are building in such scenarios would provide GIS information to users.
Well, there are some emergency network systems already, so how is this one different? How will it benefit people?
So essentially, most of the emergency networks that are out there, they're not self-sustainable. So in most cases, what happens is the emergency personnel go out with these big devices, try to either figure out if there are survivors or not, or send information to them. Or they have satellite radios for that. Our system is such that it can be deployed solar-powered, self-sustainable. And even if you have a smartphone, you can download that information from the mesh onto your smartphone. So very different from what's out there.
And how does the solar energy work? How does it power it?
Well, you have a solar panel, and you harvest energy from the sunlight and store it into a battery, and you just keep it there until you need it, and the battery is what's used to power the system. But we do have to keep track of how much power we have and how much power various tasks will require, so we can allocate the task to whichever node is available.
And you mentioned mesh. What is that?
Mesh is a set of connected nodes. So one of the biggest problems in an emergency scenario is certain nodes might die, right? And if you want to cover an area with the same information which basically moves through the area, you need connected nodes. And mesh is essentially a bunch of connected nodes covering a large area.
And how long have you guys been working on this project?
We've been working about a year and a half, a little over a year and a half. It's a 3-year project, so we're a little over halfway through, and we're working in development right now, developing the hardware and the software that goes with it, and we'll begin deploying it in about 6 months.
And did you guys get any sort of grant to help with the research, or?
Yes, the work is funded, almost entirely by the National Science Foundation.
And how will you be able to get this information out to people? Because if the idea is that, you know, it's because the grid has gone down and people can't watch their TVs or they can't plug in their radios, so how are you going to get this information to them? Because they probably don't have solar energy.
That's a good question. I think the idea would be that the city would want to advertise, if it were an operational system, that it would be advertised beforehand so that people would know that it was in existence. And there would probably be tests, like the emergency broadcast system. They might test the dynamic solar power dynamic mesh, for example. And people could simply take out their phones and see. The other thing is that because it's transmitting during an emergency, if people were to take out their smartphone and look for a signal of some kind, they would automatically pick up the wireless transmission that was coming out. So they wouldn't even have to know about it necessarily if they were in range of the mesh.
And what would the range be, or do you guys know yet?
So we don't really know that yet. We have to do some experiments on that. But the radios that we are using is essentially the Wi-Fi radios that you have on your laptops. So the range would be similar to what you have inside your house, for example. You open up your laptop, see your access point inside your house. So that would be about the range that we'll have on our system too. The range can be improved by using external antennas if we want, but that increases the power consumption also. So we have to have a balance there.
And it's obviously still in development. So what are some of the, kinks or goals that you need to finish before you can kind of get this out there for the public?
Well, I guess one of the things we had to do is to become familiar with all these new integrated circuits that are out there and how to apply them to various components in our system. And it's almost like a cat chasing its tail because the technology comes out so quickly. You have to keep up with it. But some of the things we had to have breakthroughs are, for instance, what Alex did, being able to use the very low power transceiver to detect Wi-Fi so we don't waste energy. I thought that was very useful. And finding a way to make the circuits to where they do not require maintenance. Because the objective is for this to require zero maintenance and be self-sustainable. So, for instance, a mesh node about half the size of a book may be placed out on a telephone pole, and of course there's an array of them. And 10 years later, there may be an emergency, and the users come out there and they find this Wi-Fi connection, but it should be zero maintenance, and that's in low power.
And then there's the information that you're trying to deliver to the people. We want it to look as much like a modern mapping experience as you might see when under normal conditions. But all of the software that's developed to provide that kind of experience is developed and compiled for larger computers and servers and workstations, desktop machines. And to get it to run on this small, low-powered device is still a major challenge, trying to understand how we can optimize the software so that it requires less power to provide a certain level of information is really where we're focusing right now. And that's relatively new. I don't think there's been a lot of research into that.
So I'll add one more thing to it. So essentially when you deploy these things, I was talking about this mesh which is connected, right? So the placement of the nodes is also a big deal because there is terrain, there is vegetation, which actually attenuates radio signals. So to make sure that they are placed at the right place and there is sufficient redundancy so that if one node dies or is under snow or whatever, we still have this functional mesh. So these things have to be sorted out.
So is this something that would be expensive to install?
So this would be installed probably by the city. For instance, this would not be installed by individuals. And each node, we are using some commercial off-the-shelf platforms for this at this point. So the cost might be slightly higher, but it will be way cheaper than, say, a laptop. We are looking at an overall price of maybe around $400 at this point.
Or less.
But these are off-the-shelf, so that's why they are it's a little expensive. But if we build them from scratch at some point in the future, they'll be cheaper.
So how close is this to something that people could see in their town?
Our goal is by the end of this year to have a deployment in downtown Fayetteville of about 30 to 40 nodes to test it out first. And at that point, I think mostly our students would be using it. We'll test it out, see it's working or not, then again do a bunch of iterations. If it works in the first round, we'll probably have it out for some common use maybe at the end of this year even so.
And so that's something we could see here in Fayetteville?
That's the idea. Yeah, downtown Fayetteville, yes.
Is this something that you're looking to expand to other places as well?
Absolutely. So it's limited by funding at this point. So we have to buy the hardware, pay our students. We don't have a large number of students at this point. If we get more funding, our goal is to actually have it deployed across Arkansas.
Is there any similar research like this being done, do you know?
There is a lot of research on solar-powered systems. Basically sensor networks which are powered by solar and so on and so forth. People have done this for, say, habitat monitoring, wildlife tracking. But emergency relief, not so many. But these are exactly due to the challenges that Pat and Jack just pointed out. It's so difficult to write software for such a small system. It's so difficult to like extract juice from the system, from these small solar panels. Hopefully we'll be the first time that somebody's working in parallel, I guess.
So what are you guys hoping to accomplish once this is all done? What are you hoping that how it will benefit people?
Save people's lives.
Yeah, hopefully it will never be needed, though. It's like a first aid kit. You hope you never need it, but it's good to have it there.
There's another advantage of this. Like even in a non-emergency scenario, this could be useful. For example, sending out alerts. If you are in downtown Fayetteville and you want to get an alert about something like a fire, the fire department can program this mesh and send out the alert. So it's not really just focused on emergency. It could be used for non-emergency scenarios also.
Nilanjan Banerjee, Pat Parkerson, and Jack Cothran are University of Arkansas researchers involved with developing a new emergency communications network, and I spoke to them about the project yesterday. During the interview, the researchers also expressed gratitude for all of their students who are helping with the project. This is Ozarks at Large.